Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy and dealers. It's Ham. Before we get to Ham, the 30 for 30 we've been hyping, ESPN story, the greatest football team of all time, the 85 Bears, includes this. Roll it.
3 decades have now passed since his crowning achievement. He once led men into battle, actual battle, risking their lives and his own. But he somehow saw this achievement as even greater. Back then, every word he spoke, they listened.
Let's see if we can find him the Chicago Bears Super Bowl ring.
These days, Buddy Ryan speaks through someone else. Someone who can put his thoughts to paper. The same way his own men did. And they resolved to save him all those years ago.
And Dan Hampton joins us now, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. And I know from having conversations on the air and off the air with you about Buddy Ryan, how much he means to you. And I don't know if you've seen the 30 for 30 yet. I watched it. Frankly, Buddy steals the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm so happy that everyone kind of gets the gravity of the impact Buddy Ryan had on that football team. You know, and the part is that an explosion, boom. The game was over. Everybody kind of, fragmented and went their own way. And Buddy went to Philly. And all the stuff that happened after the Super Bowl, the seasons and the loss in the playoffs. Buddy was no longer a part of it. So he kind of faded away in a lot of people's minds. But when they came to me and wanted to talk about doing this, this 30 for 30, and, come on, let's be realistic. It's been a long time, and, we're kind of glad to be remembered, but, I think the whole narrative was that, hey, it was a great, great, great team, and Ditka gets a lot of credit, but Right there, you got to put Buddy Ryan in that hand of guidance that put us on that path. And I haven't seen it, but I understand that they did a wonderful job of weaving Buddy into the narrative.
I think you're going to be pleased when you do, and Hamp's obviously a big part of it as well, because this was your team on that side of the ball, and. Again, knowing how much he meant to you and knowing that the state of health has been declining for many years, I just think it's great that they made Buddy such a big part of the story. Again, the 30 for 30 premieres on Thursday. Before we go to traffic, give me one of your favorite Buddy Ryan stories.
He'd do crazy stuff. Like one night when Mongo come in kind of hungover, we got into the meeting and he turns and looks at Mongo and goes, "Hey, Ming, I don't mind if you go out and get drunk, but don't take any of the players with him." And I mean, that was just Buddy. But there was nothing like playing for him. And again, I hate to say it, but, he was such a big part of it. When he left, man, just a lot of the glow kind of left the building.
Well, I take a break, come back. Hamp and I will talk about, and Dave in it as well. And Dave, since I'm in Des Moines and you're there, just jump in and we'll talk all over each other. The audience loves that.
Oh, that always works well.
We'll come back right after traffic. More with Dan Hampton. Back with Dan Hampton, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Dave Ennett's in the studio in Chicago, and we are live in Des Moines. Dave, say hi to Hamp.
Hamp, good morning.
Good morning, sir. I got to tell you, I'm kind of getting excited about this. We have so many different associations with the game, this and that. Of course, we all look forward to seeing how our old WGN compadre Ron Rivera is going to do.
Well, if you look at this matchup, Hamp, and 2 years ago when the Broncos played in Super Bowl 48, against Seattle, I believe the final was 43-8. And I think there's sort of a feeling that this could be that kind of a game again against Carolina. Why do you think, if you do think, Denver can make this a closer game than they did 2 years ago against the Seahawks?
Well, and quite honestly, I'm not in the kind of mindset where I can try to make a defense for Denver. Defense. I mean, they got the number one defense. Yep. Anytime you've got a defense, you've got a chance. Now, what is different about this Denver team from what it was 2 years ago? And how similar is Carolina with the Seahawks who they played? You know, you could make a lot of comparisons, but Peyton Manning is the wild card. He's not anywhere near the player he was 2 years ago, and to think that he can magically wave a wand and be able to make a lot of the throws that he was unable to throughout most of the season is going to be a stretch. I personally think that what happened 2 years ago, it was just, nobody saw it coming. And Denver just kind of was just completely, discombobulated early on, and they never got back in it. I think this game will be pretty close the first half. But in the second half, Carolina's, they're much better than a lot of people give them credit. Everybody's saying, oh, well, their schedule's soft. They had to play, Atlanta and Tampa and all that. Guess what? Every game, every team in the NFL, they have good players. And the Carolina Panthers are a very, very good team. The one thing is, we all know all this off the field stuff with Cam Newton. How much will his his mental approach to the game be affected? It's got to be something, when everyone is asking you a million questions and this and that, and we all know he wants to be a new type of iconic player and all that. So it'll be interesting to see if he really, really wants to stay within the formula that's made them successful this year and not, start trying to do crazy things once the game starts.
Here's the thing, though, Hamp. If that Denver defense can rattle Cam Newton, or maybe the better question is, can they rattle Cam Newton if they get to him often and early?
I don't think you're going to see Carolina try to get in that kind of game where they, they put him in the 7-step drop and go conventional. They're going to run a lot of the read option. They're going to do boots and drags. Do different things, letting him get outside the pocket. Two or three weeks before the end of the season, I can't remember exactly who it was. I think it was the Arizona game. Maybe it was Seattle. They were playing a very good team, and time after time, the Carolina offense was put in 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10. And every time they ran either a variation of a bootleg with a crossing route, or the read option, and every time Cam Newton made the exact right play. So, like I said, I don't think they're going to try to get into a game where it's going to be okay. We're going to take 7-step drop and see if Cam can look like the second coming of Johnny Unitas. No, it's going to be we know what we've done for 18 games now. This is what we do, and we're going to keep doing it.
Hey, Hamp, let me ask you about the story that broke yesterday about Calvin Johnson apparently deciding that at the age of 30 he is ready to walk away from the NFL. Are you buying it? Do you think this is going to stick?
No. No, sir. Quite honestly, he's one of the special players in the league, but this year he had to fight through a knee. And I got to tell you, after all those years of doing it, by the end of the season, it requires so much more, spirit, emotion, and willpower to do it. Once you let him get the knee, operated on, surgically fixed, by April, May, he'll feel like a new man. He'll be wanting to come back. But right now, at the end of the season, you are drained and you're like, I've had it. But after a while, you heal up, and you're like, hey, I can still do this. I still want to do this. So don't buy into it. And by the way, Yeah, if you had Caldwell as a coach, you may want to retire too.
Great analogy, by the way. Hey, before you go, one more Buddy Ryan story. And if you don't mind, I remember you telling me at one point that all the defense were either taking naps or something, and Ditka walked through the room and tried to take a shot at the guys.
Well, okay. You know, the meeting room was in the basement of Hallis Hall, and it was kind of cool down there. And we'd wear big, coats or sweat coats with hoodies. Sure. And anyway, you watch film, and the projector back then. See, it wasn't videotape. It was, the it put you to sleep. Anyway, we got to where we would get on the floor, and it wasn't just us young guys. It was Alan Page. I mean, Alan Page is in his 13th, 14th, 15th year. And he'd be on the floor and would watch, but then all of a sudden he'd kind of conk out. And anyway, Ditka came in one day, and he saw us on the floor, and he told Buddy after me, he goes, "What the hell are you doing? Those guys are sleeping on the floor." And Buddy goes, "Yeah, what?" He goes, "What are you letting them sleep?" He goes, "Well, you want him to go to sleep?" He said, "I had a linebacker up in Minnesota one time, great player. I think it was Jeff Seaman or somebody, buddy. And they fell asleep in the sitting in their little chair, and he fell over and it sprained his neck, and he missed a month of the season with a dislocated neck." So Buddy said, "If you're going to go to sleep, lay on the floor so you don't hurt yourself."
It's just more.
And you know what? Hey, guess what? If you knew as a professional how much of that film you needed to see, and come on, we would watch the films over and over and over again. So, I mean, that was Buddy. That was the way he looked at it. Whatever it takes to get you ready and to be the best you can be.
It's more good coaching. Thank you, Dan Hampton, sponsored by Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy Dealers. We'll give you the Super Bowl predictions when Hamp rejoins us on Friday. We're back after this and back to Des Moines in a few on 720 WDGN, I think. Yeah, that's it.